I've only known of a few people in my career that actually set out to have a career in insurance. Everybody else, it was strictly accidental.
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and to talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Every year, hundreds of insurance CSRs from across America compete to be named the Outstanding CSR of the Year. This award is presented by the National Alliance and is considered one of the greatest professional honors a customer service representative can receive. It recognizes an insurance professional's dedication, commitment, and outstanding achievement. Today, we're talking with Linda Wright, one of this year's top five finalists for the award.
Well, my name is Linda Wright, and I currently work for Rooney Insurance Agency in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
As part of the process to be considered for this award, Linda had to write a two-page essay on a topic chosen by the National Alliance. This year's topic is as follows. Many in our industry came into insurance by chance, but have built a career by choice. How did you come into the industry, and what are four reasons you stayed and built a career? So, Linda, how did you get started in the industry?
Well, I kind of got into it quite by accident. My first job was as a receptionist at a small agency in Tulsa. And before long, they had me working, helping out in the personal lines department. And then moved on to assistant in the commercial lines area. Then they had an opening for a commercial lines CSR. And I moved into that. So that's kind of how I got started. Didn't plan on it, but that's what I've been doing ever since.
What do you like the most about your job?
I mean, one of the things I like most about my jobs is the relationships that I've built with my clients. You know, they're more than just clients. They're my friends. And, you know, I love being able to hear about, you know, an insured who has a new grandbaby. Recently, I got to attend the groundbreaking of early state-of-the-art early learning center, which serves families that depend on DHS subsidies to assist with their child care costs. And they brought out all the little kids with their hard hats and their shovels, and they broke ground along with the adults. And it was just so cute and really heartwarming to watch that. And those personal connections are one of the things that makes my job worthwhile.
Do you have any strange stories that you could share with us about a specific claim or incident?
One of the strangest claim story that I can think of off the top of my head happened about 5 years ago. And we had a claimant that said that he had in the cab of his dump truck an ancient Mayan artifact that had been damaged in an accident. And he claimed that the value of this ancient Mayan artifact was over $4 million. And he was going to retire with that money that he was going to get from selling that ancient Mayan artifact. So we didn't know anything about ancient Mayan artifacts. So we contacted a local university and sent him a picture of the artifact. And they said, well, you know, universities, we don't authenticate artifacts. But they thought it did look Mexican, but they said if it was authentic, that it probably came from was stolen from a burial site, which was against the law. And they went on to say that if it was Mexican, there were laws regarding the transportation of archaeological findings across the borders. So, we informed the claimant of what we had found out, and he decided not to pursue his claim regarding that. The statue, but we'll never know if it was authentic or not, really.
So you could have had the find of the century right at your fingertips, or maybe just a piece of junk that someone found at a garage sale.
Exactly. I mean, it was, you know, it looked, you couldn't tell. I mean, it could have come from a gift store in, you know, somewhere in Mexico, but it could have been authentic. We'll never know.
Are there any other claims that were maybe a little bit more emotional that you could talk about?
Nothing really springs to mind. I mean, all of our claims to our clients are very important. Where to us, maybe it might just seem like another claim, but, you know, if it's their business that's, you know, got damage to the building, or if it's their house that's burned down, mean, that's the most important thing in their life right then. So, you know, we try to remember that when we're trying to handle these claims and make sure that we're sensitive to that.
And how has the industry changed since you first started in the business?
I would say the thing that's changed the most has been technology. I mean, I remember, you know, when our little agency got its very first fax machine, and initially the owner of the agency wanted nothing to do with that newfangled, you know, machine. And it had the old thermal paper that came out on a roll. I don't know if some of the younger people have ever seen that before, but came out on a roll. And we found out later that the ink would disappear when you put it in the file. So you'd have to take it out and copy it on the copy machine so you'd have an actual copy that would be there when you went back to the file later. And, you know, we've pretty much come full circle on that if you think about it. I mean, the very first, you know, went from being from the newfangled machine to the machine we couldn't do without. We had faxes coming in all the time to now I rarely ever send or receive faxes. Almost everything's electronic. So it's pretty much come full circle.
With all the talk of baby boomers retiring and the millennials taking over in the industry, what direction do you see insurance taking?
Well, not necessarily in our workplace so much, but I mean, I'm seeing a move away from brick and mortar offices, and more and more people are working remotely. Like I said, not so much in our office here, but I do believe as, you know, the baby boomers start to retire and the millennials come in, that more and more of them will feel comfortable, you know, working from home, accessing, you know, doing that stuff from their smartphones, their tablets, their laptops, you know, anywhere in the world. I think that there's going to be a move more toward that.
Do you see your office going more mobile, where you could maybe have time away from the office and still get the work done?
If it were up to me, I definitely would. In my position right now, my agency is not really comfortable with that. I do, however, if I'm on vacation, I will answer emails. I will send out certificates. You know, I will do that. And, you know, if I'm at home, can't make it into the office, I'll do that. But they're not comfortable yet with they're working remotely, and I think it's going to take a little time for them to get comfortable with it.
Okay, Linda, let's switch up gears a bit. How does it feel to be one of the CSR finalists of the year?
Well, it's interesting that you ask about that, because actually I was nominated by a coworker here in my agency. Her name is Anessa DeJarnett, and I actually nominated her back in 2011 for the CSR of the year. And she was chosen as the winner for the state of Oklahoma. So when she nominated me this year, I really couldn't refuse. I pretty much felt like I had to do an essay because she had taken the time to do a nomination for me. So I really appreciated that.
Who along the way has been your mentor, or have you been able to mentor anyone else?
Well, once again, I would like to think that I've been a mentor to Anessa DeJarnett. Like me, she knew nothing about insurance when she started in the business, and she was hired as an assistant to our office administrator. And after about a year and a half, they promoted her to commercial lines assistant. And, you know, she was like a sponge, and she learned really quickly. And now she's a licensed PNC agent, and she has her CIC designation. Now she's proven herself in the industry.
What was it like taking your first CIC class?
Well, you know, when I first started the CIC program, I really didn't know what to expect. But after I went to my first institute, I realized that I really needed that to get the knowledge that was going to be necessary to help my clients make those decisions that were really important for their coverages. And so it's been a real learning experience, and I feel like it really demonstrates a commitment to professionalism as well as, you know, the continuing education. Every year you've got to go get your continuing education, and it just updates you on, you know, changes in coverage forms, changes in laws. And then, of course, after I got my CIC, I've now started on my CRM, and I'm only one institute away from that. So
would you recommend the program to others in the insurance arena?
Oh, I would definitely encourage them to do that. Like I said, I mean, I've learned so much from those classes, and they really get in depth into some of the stuff that you may not even be thinking about. And like I said, the changes in coverage forms, the changes in laws.
Sticking with the subject of the CIC program, what were the instructors like?
All the instructors are are really great. They do a great job of really getting their point across, keeping you interested. It's a long 2.5 days you're sitting there, and they've kind of got to keep it moving and keep your attention. And they all do a great job. So I don't really have any names right off the top of my head.
Do you think that having a designation has helped you in your career?
I believe it does. I believe that employers and clients as well do appreciate the fact that you've made that commitment to get that continuing education and to be the best advisor that you can to help them make informed decisions on their coverages.
You also mentioned in your essay one of the more hot-button topics of the day, which is cybersecurity. What do you know about that?
Almost any business nowadays, with all the technology, you know, a lot of our insureds say, oh, we don't need cyber. We don't sell anything online. Well, there's way, way more to it than that. If you have personal information of your clients at all, I mean, you've got a cyber liability risk if you've got things on the computer. And with all the laptops going out of offices, there's a big risk out there. So, I mean, we actually have hired a new agent here in the office who's mainly concentrating on cyber because it is such an unexplored area of the industry. It's been ignored for so long that I think insureds are really starting to come around and realize that it is a big exposure.
Moving on from the virtual to the more physical, tell us about earthquakes.
20 years ago, your insurance would scoff if you offered them earthquake coverage in Oklahoma. And surprisingly, Oklahoma now ranks above California in earthquake frequency. We've had 100 earthquakes in the past month alone and over 2,500 in the past year. So definitely things have changed on that front.
Is there a concern for a major earthquake?
Right now in Oklahoma, most of our earthquakes have been fairly minor. So mostly they're doing, you know, cracks in the walls and things like that. The problem with frequency is that, as always, it breeds severity. So eventually the fear is that all of these small earthquakes will end up being the big one. And well, we hope that never happens. If so, a lot of homeowners and business owners in Oklahoma might not have the coverage that they need.
Okay, let's say I'm an Oklahoma resident. Should I really consider getting earthquake coverage? And what kind of damage are we talking about here?
Definitely check into it. While it does carry a high deductible, so it's not going to cover the minor cracks in the walls and the sheetrock and things like that. It's more important for a catastrophe, and that's what they really need to be thinking about, because we never know when something like that may happen.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I would like to personally thank the National Alliance for starting this competition way back in 1991 and continuing it still today. I think it's great that they're taking the time to recognize insurance professionals like myself, and I would like to encourage anyone listening to nominate an outstanding CSR you know in next year's competition. It's an honor just to be nominated, and if you nominate the national winner, you'll receive $1,000 as well. So it's a win-win situation.
Thanks, Linda. For more resources and information on how to make the most out of your insurance career, including educational and networking opportunities, visit thenationalalliance.com. You can also find the National Alliance on LinkedIn to comment on this podcast or suggest topics for future podcasts. This is Speaking Insurance.